Yay. Aloha, and welcome to Wisdom Dialogues with Hope Johnson, coming to you from Hawaiian Paradise Park on the beautiful Big Island of Hawaii. Yay. What's coming to my mind all day today is gratitude, and especially gratitude for the people that arise in the perception, no matter what kind of form they're taking in the perception, just being in the practice of extending gratitude, because they all have a gift for you. If you feel any kind of irritated or intensity or anything like that, that's good. That's exciting. There's an excitement in that. You know, it's like, it's kind of like hide and seek, right? It's like, you can't find the connection. You feel like you can't find the connection. You can't make the connection. That person just seems like so other to you. Because they're so annoying or something, or whatever it is about the situation, you know, they just seem like they're so much other, like not you, pushed outside of you. That's the only way you can give yourself an upset feeling about a person. So it's like, when you find that you've given yourself that feeling and you're aware of it, you're like, hooray, because now I can make the choice that benefits me, which is to be with this feeling and also in an openness to what's really true. And then that's how it's like we restore our connection with our brothers and sisters, or our kin, as Kai Molino loves to say. And, you know, that's all we want. Like, in all of our searching and all of our seeking and all of, you know, even like trying to make money or whatever, we're, you know, trying to get a connection, like physically or something like that, or self-improvement or anything like that. All we really want is that connection with one another restored, because that is our connection with God. That's the same. And that's the same as knowing who we are, right? So whenever it seems like the connection is severed, I'm not talking about physically in the physical sense. I'm talking about, you know, in your mental slash feeling sense, right? The feelings are also mentally projected. They come from the mental, okay? So it's like when you're aware of that feeling sense, noticing that it's the first manifestation of whatever you're thinking, whatever thoughts you're committed to right now, the feeling is the first manifestation. So let's take annoyance, as in being, feeling like you're annoyed with the person. Okay. Let's take that, because that's easy. That pops up, right? So feeling like it, this sense of annoyance with the person, or let's say, if you can't imagine, or you can't immediately picture a situation, look at when I say something like that, don't you immediately pick us? There's like something will pop up. It's like someone or something will pop up. It's like, oh yeah, I know that, I'm familiar with that thing. Let's say if you can't get annoyance, let's say disappointment, it's all the same, right? And it's constantly projecting. Now there may be, cause you know, I had one person actually speak it out to me this past week. You know, some of you that aren't aware of your self-talk, you're not aware of what's going on. And, you know, one person told me that they have nothing like that, no chatter, nothing like that. Right. So when I witnessed that, and, you know, it was it was obvious to me that that definitely wasn't the truth, because the worst way the person's expressing, right? The way the person is expressing themselves. So I just realized, wow, is that just going on a lot where we actually think we don't have chatter? we actually think there isn't chatter going on that we're paying attention to. You know, shit, you guys, it's like, that is the constant thing that's going in the whole, it's just, that's the thing. That's what's propping up the whole world. That's what's causing us to have a perception, a body, everything. Like, you can't even prop it up without a bunch of fucking thoughts. It's amazing. So it's like, you know, when the chatter arises, which is basically what I'm saying, is it's all the time. Okay. So it takes a sense of presence to, it's like you get these spaces between the thoughts. You know, it takes a sense of presence because you're not interested in whatever it is the thought is leading. So, you know, in that sense, like if you're not having any worldly thoughts at all, you're not perceiving. Like, you know, one thing I read online, it was great. It said, you know, if you think you don't have any work to do, just take a mirror and stick it under your nose and then breathe right there. If you see some fog, you still have work to do. I was like, that's a good one. So that, you know, there's I'm getting a huge reflection of denial in that. Basically, that's denial. Okay. So there's, that's really common to deny that we are having these repetitive thoughts, these repetitive cycles going on. Because the thing is, it's just in the moment when you would be aware of it, that you would see it and then deny it any meaning. You know, that's using denial in a different way. Deny it any meaning. And then the thought itself gets resolved instead of denied. Okay. So you see the difference. Right. Yeah. The way Kai Molino's saying it, proper use of denial. That's the way A Course in Miracles states it. Yeah, because you can see how it's so close too. It's like it's a trip. It's like right there. It's like you're denying the repetitive thought, like to the light of your consciousness. That's the improper use of denial. But if you would see it, if you would observe it, let's say, then you could see that it is meaningless, and that's denying it any meaning. That's the proper use of denial. See that?
Great.
Yay. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Course in Miracles peeps seem to really dig wisdom dialogues. Course in Miracles it's called A Course in Miracles. I just skipped that part because, you know. Anyways, in case you're looking it up, it's definitely been my favorite practice since 2014. Everything in it really speaks to me. What's that?
It's completely available now online for free. They've got it published. Their publishers, the whole book is available. Don't have to go buy it.
It's completely available online for free. You don't even have to buy it. So there you go. If you want to check out A Course in Miracles. Yeah. So like when the person told me that, it was after Wisdom Dialogues, and she had been pretty vocal in the whole Wisdom Dialogues. Yeah, there'd be like a combustion. Like I'd say something, she'd be like, no. Like it would be like, whoa, what's going on over there?
I was sitting next to that.
Yeah, that was interesting, right? Yeah. So she came up to me afterwards. She said, hey, you know, I'm sorry you guys are going through all that mind chatter. I don't know what that's like at all. And she's like, I don't have any of that. And I was like, really? That's freaking awesome. and you know, it's like so fun because we get these lessons in all these different ways, and they come in all these different forms. It's all very, very playful. It's really fun. It's like it's helpful for seeing what is being hidden, you know, what's trying to be hidden. For one thing, this person's like erupting in the middle of I'm talking, and just like erupting in the middle of the thing. So it's like, whoa, it's like in the body's energy field, there's a reaction in the body's energy field. So then there's just you know, if you're willing to sit with it and be with it, then you don't get on the same vibe. You don't get on the same vibration as the person. It's not like you're controlling the person and they can't still be reactive and still be acting out and stuff like that. But, you know, in yourself, you're not getting on the vibe with a person. You know what I mean? So then at some point, I forgot what the sentence was, but it was just kind of like, well, you, and it was like really aggressive, felt really aggressive to me. And I was just like, kind of like laughing, like, okay. And then I just was like quiet for a minute and then start talking again and just wait for, you know, the energy to kind of like subside. Cause there's no way it goes like this. It goes like this. So when one person energy elevates, let's say the intensity elevates and one person intensity elevates, it's like a temptation for your energy to meet that elevated level. So basically what I'm doing in that kind of circumstance is just relaxing, noticing what it feels like and relaxing, right? And, you know, there's also a sense like, and a thought occurs to me, like, this first person is fucking crazy. What am I supposed to do with this? You know, you know? Hey, you're whispering over there. Share it with me. What is this?
Let's talk about Friday. Yes.
Oh.
Sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Spontaneous combustion.
And you know, it's not a matter of like showing someone up or getting the better of them or anything like that. It's a matter of, you know, and what I was talking about too in Wisdom Dialogues in person about being in the position, whatever it is, speaker or whatever, with a willingness to learn, right? So to be in that situation with a willingness to learn, right? Always, because especially when it seems to be someone's interrupting and they're trying to take up all the space in the room, you know, just like, and these are all like meaningless thoughts too. So you see these thoughts arise and you give no value or meaning to them. So then you're just present in the situation. And you know what the situation is? An energetic situation, really, because, you know, it's a thoughts that are projecting even the energy. And then the energy is like the experience, the visceral experience. So that, you know, that part of it, that's really what we're here for, is that visceral experience. That's what's healing. That's what's awakening, just that willingness to be with it and let whatever does arise. You know, for me, I don't know what I'm going to say. I really love that one, A Course in Miracles. It's a lesson for the day. It's I'll step back and let him lead the way. So it's like, I don't know what I might say in any given situation, but I know it can be really fun if I let, like all of the things, they could all be really fun if I let them. So in that way, there's no fear of how anyone might be presenting themselves, because for myself, if I'm not able to have complete fun and joy in the situation, then it's a good lesson for me to learn how to do that better. Because that's all I want, right? It's all anyone wants, is a complete connection and joy. So it's always like, that's the goal. And that's our shared goal too. And it's not up to me to try to change anyone. If someone, you know, looks like they're crazy, maybe on meth possibly or something, that's also projected from my own mind. I need a crazy person on meth every once in a while, you know, and who knows, maybe I need them in an ongoing fashion.
I don't think he needs that.
It's not up to me. It's not up to me. And that's the thing. It's not up to me what comes out of my mouth. Look, you can look at it like this, that it's already pre-written. You know, I read a quote from someone and I forgot who it was. It was like a older kind of like Indian dude. He had a cane. He's probably passed away by now. Really famous probably. But anyways, he was talking about The story's all been written. Okay. So when I saw that, I go, wait a second. The story has all been written. It has his picture next to it, which is kind of fun. You see him in his picture. This is the guy who wears a diaper too. He always wearing a diaper. Mm. And he has a cane. And it was something about how the story of the body has already been written. So, you know, it's like, it occurs to me that the story of the body is written in this instant. It's written right this instant. There's not before, right? It's a whole structure of thinking, of a way of thinking that's only born right now. There's only birth right now. I've heard it expressed as unfolding, right? That unfolding is what I'm referring to. It's like a birth right now. The whole story is pre-written only in this instant. That is why anything can change. And that's why if this is taken like that, this life is fateful, if it's taken like that, it's a different way of looking at it that denies your power, the power of your mind to project a story right, just right now. It has no backing whatsoever. It has no roots in reality. It's only just projecting right now. So, you know, anything that seems to be the issue, whether even if it's a physical kind of thing, like let's say it's a sickness of some sort or something like that, anything that seems to be the issue, the only thing is that's preventing you from seeing it healed is thought. And see, that doesn't mean that you should guilt yourself when you find yourself with, like, let's say, you can look at it like this. I'm going to put it in a way that's really like common, so you guys can see how, just like how common this is, and how, you know, your job is really simple. Like, say you got your period, okay, or you're a dude and you know someone who got their period. Apparently they said they got their period, right? You know, basically that's not something that you have to have. We made that shit up. You know, it's kind of like a sickness. You're going to bleed out of your twat for this number of days, right? Don't worry. You're not hurt. This is normal. It's easy to succumb to these kinds of patterns as being just the way things are. We fall asleep to these things. We just fall asleep to them. That doesn't mean we need to try to, like, let's say you got cramps, right? doesn't mean you need to try to do things so you could show that you have power over the cramps. The thing is, the miracle is in your willingness to recognize that you are projecting this whole thing. You're making the whole thing up. It's a really, notwithstanding any of the seeming symptoms that seem to be arising, it's a really empowering and relieving feeling that you're just making it up. There's just, that is like saying, hey, I could see that I need something here. If you don't know that you need something, if you don't know that you need a correction, then you're just going to keep buying into the same kind of patterns again. Because see, we've been trained to say, this is the way it is. We made these bodies up with all of their functions, including the one that turns on some fucking aging thing where you just start aging. Cracks me up. This is hilarious. Okay, at some point in time, I'm just gonna start doing this then. So each of us, in a very subjective way, is using the same thoughts of the world repeatedly. That's what this chatter is that I'm talking about. It's actually very loud. It's just that the barriers to it, the defensiveness to it is really strong too. It's like a fear of pain, a fear of knowing what's being said. Kind of like what's being said in secret. It's loud and it's fast and it's running all the time. And each one that you observe and deny any meaning to is kind of like a gate to receiving insight. See? That's why it's so beneficial to be present and aware to what's going on. What are you projecting? You're either projecting or extending. You're not doing both at the same time. But it's like this. You're extending and then you're projecting. And then you're extending and then you're projecting. And then you might be projecting, extending. Because it's constantly coming. Look, if it's not like that you're not holding up the physical form. Sure, it gets to be less and less. Maybe if it's extending, and then projecting, and then extending like that, right? But like at first, the totally conditioned, let's say conditioned, basically living as if they are a body or they are in a body, right? That's like fully conditioned, right? They're pretty much projecting most of the time. Everyone's extending from time to time. They can't help it. By extending, that's just, when you are faced with a thought that says this person is this, or I'm this, or something that hurts your mind, you're just being willing to deny the meaning to that. You're automatically in extending. That's how it is. You can feel the shift. If you tune in, you can feel the shift. The shift comes and you can sense like almost like a light or some kind of an energy coming from your heart to the other heart. I was talking on the phone with my mom this past week and she was talking about how George Soros must be the devil. Apparently, I don't know. And I never heard about these stories before. My mom was telling me stories about how George Soros is basically ruling the world. And he's hiring people to vandalize and doing all this different stuff. I don't know all the stories. And I could tell my mom was telling me the story. I could sense a certain tone. And I shared that with my mom. There's a certain tone, and it's a painful tone. You know, it shows me that there's pain in that and that it's a projection. Right. So that's how I can know, you know, that's not coming from a sense of love. That's not coming from that. It's coming from the ego. It's not the Holy Spirit's kind of voice. So I let my mom know, you know, whenever I get the sense like that, like someone is like raining on my parade, like ruining my fucking life or the life of a bunch of people, right? Whenever I get the sense of something like that, I just tune into my heart space and I notice if I am willing to extend from there to that person. And I can see that I always am. So then there's gratitude, you know, like we started talking about at the beginning, there's gratitude for that one. In this case, it's George Soros. And my mom, like, mind kind of shook a little bit. I could tell because she was kind of like, fuck, you know, even for him. Right? I mean, there's people I'm sure that think this guy is fucking great too. That's how it always is. No one's right. No one's wrong. It is for you a subjective interpretation of, you could say, the Son of God, because there's only one of us. Whether it's a dude or a chick, the Son of God, because there's only one of us. So if we've made an evaluation and an interpretation of the Son of God, what is that called? It's called sin. And why is it called sin? Because it hurts your mind. Right? And then my mom said something like, I'm glad you love me in spite of myself. And then I go, not in spite of yourself, mom, I just love you. You're awesome. I love everything about you. It's just that I see when you have a tone that's hurting you, when you're holding on to a tone that's hurting you, and I like you to be as happy as possible. So then she's like, thank you. She likes to be as happy as possible too. And sometimes it's not so easy to see where we're not letting ourselves be as happy as possible. I watch a lot for other people, like whatever other people are, you know, and they're reflecting something to me and I get in, I'm always watching the reaction to other people in my body's energy field. So when I'm getting a reaction, I know that's a learning point for me. So I know that the next thing is gratitude, right? The next thing is just like extending gratitude. And then the learning just takes place on its own. Nael said, interesting how our parents are so similar. Oh, that's awesome, Nael. Well, Nael is also second generation. They're called the family now, but they were called Children of God, that whole group that I grew up in, which you could call a cult. I mean, it could seem kind of judgy calling it a cult too. I mean, you have to fit it into that. But, you know, for me, what defines cult is charismatic leader. We had that. He gives all the rules and everyone else follows them. Yeah, we got that. Usually molestation is involved in that, where you're boning up with kids. We had that. So, you know, anyways, our parents, mine and Nael's parents, were first generation parents in this group. So it's really fun because these are like people that were so into it. My mom still is, you know, she still like sends money to the group all the time, and she gets what publications they will give her. She's kind of like not a full-fledged participant in the group because she does like what they call a systemite job. You know, she's a notary, and she's not living in their way, like in a home, out on the street witnessing, probably. That's my guess. And that's from a memory a long time ago, probably like 20, 30 years ago. But unless anything's changed, that's still the same way. And I know my mom still gives them donations and stuff like that. But this is a generation where you could see how the next generation, us, me and Nael, are carrying it forward to, you know, kind of like make their vision manifest, you know. Really, it's like we can't even help it. That's just the thing. You know, they were seeking out something. They were leaving the system. They were seeking out something different. They were looking for a better way. You know, they're really like, this is the same time A Course in Miracles came about too. It was like they're writing it like around the late 60s, early 70s. This is the same time that whole Jesus revolution happened. My parents happened. They did all that thing. And, you know, it's interesting to see how those parents are in relation to us. You know, it's interesting that they're kind of like, they're kind of similar like that too. Like they're open to it. My mom is like very open to it. She loves getting the release. She loves having that. And she's just so super wound up in her normal everyday life, just using every little thing to just like rile her up, you know. And you could tell by the way she'll talk about it. It's like there's a habitual sense of victimhood there that she doesn't see. And you know, it's like once in a while I'll be inspired to point something out to her, but it's not like every single time because it's kind of like well ingrained. but the openness is so there. It's so wonderful. All right, Natalie, my love. Aloha. I have a fun story. I fell again hiking. This time my boot hooked onto the other one. My feet were bound and I tumbled down a steep rocky decline and fractured my finger. So the past few days, Kai Molino has something totally similar going on right now. That's hilarious. He's got a finger bound up over here. So the past few days, I've had the opportunity to see how I want to attribute blame to outside circumstances and tell the story to get people to agree with me. The impulse is so strong, but I'm definitely willing to see through this pattern. So I see now what is a better way to share the information with others. Be aware of my tome. Tone. Yeah, eventually I'm going to have glasses sitting there. I'm barely reading this shit now. Okay. I rebuke that thought. That's how they would say it when I was growing up. You know, it's kind of like you just like rebuke something. It's like, it's just like, there it is. It just like, boom, you see how it just comes up. And it's like, you see it. It's like, okay, that's actually in, remember what I just said. I just gave a demonstration of it. It's like in this moment, these thoughts are just being handed to you. And a lot of them just come out your mouth. But that's a really fun and funny way for me to handle it. You know, just like I rebuke that thought too. And it's like, it's funny. It's not anything that's like, oh shit. Oh no, that's not good. You eliminate the ongoing effects of it. Like, you know, there's a projection in time. Like you can say from this point in time, there's a projection for X amount more time, could be millions of years. Okay. It's like, it's already projected. It's like a million years in a timeline. Like you can't see the end of it. Okay. So So these thoughts are occurring to you. And when you're making them meaningless, you're showing that they don't need to have any more effect. You're showing your mind they don't need to have any more effect. So in that, it collapses its time. Like that thought has a projected timeline already. So in that, it's like a collapsing that timeline. That's what we want to do. We want to shorten the timeline, keep on shortening the timeline until there is no timeline. Okay. So every single one, that's why it's like, I will just be always watching. It doesn't matter what else I seem to be doing. And you know what, if in the moment I didn't speak out something like I did, just did, like I rebuked this thought, I'm aware of it and I'm rebuking it in my own way. And it may be, you know, like any of the activities I seem to be involved in at the time, it doesn't matter because I'm not in the activities. I'm behind the activities. I'm only in the activities in a way that I'm there in a feeling sense. I'm not there in a sense of identity with it. Okay. So I'm getting a sense of it because I know the whole material is a perceptual experience. Okay. And it has to do so much with feeling. Feeling is like the interval between thinking and physical manifestation. All right. That's like, you see that? I'll give you a second. And say it again. It's the interval feeling, the body sense feeling is the interval between thinking and physical manifestation. All right. So that is what it's all coming out of. So in that, it's not a matter of I have to calm myself down. It's not like that. It's like I want to ride this ride. I gave this ride to myself right now. I want to be on it. Okay. So for instance, someone's blowing up in front of you. And you're getting the perception, oh gosh, this sucks. That's one. Next one, just another thought. All you have to do in that is deny meaning to the thought. Everything else is taken care of. What you say, what they say, what happens next, all that kind of stuff. See, so that's what is meant by I will step back and let Him, as in the Holy Spirit, lead the way.
Today's lesson is that when I give my life to God to guide me today.
Okay. Wow, nice. Kai Molino's message for the day, he's on A Course in Miracles, lesson for the day, is, what is it again?
I give my life to God to guide me.
I give my life to God to guide me today. So, you know, some of them just come back to me, some of these lessons. That guy, Ben Bigelow, you guys listen to that guy? He's got that one. Nothing I see means anything. I've given everything, all the reason that it has for me, or the meaning that it has for me. Yeah. He goes through the titles. Well, he's got other songs and he's got a whole album.
Of all of them?
He puts the course numbers. It's actually a range. The songs are a range of the course numbers on it. Yeah. Like, so some of them are just, they stand out to me. Sometimes I'll even hear it in a song. It'll just like, you know, it'll come in a song. That one, as soon as I hear, nothing I see means anything, I've given everything all the meaning that it has for me, I just laugh. I hear it in my mind. I just laugh. It doesn't matter what it is I'm thinking about at the time. See? All right. So where were we before I got off on that fun little adventure? So Natalie, being aware of my tone. Yes. So a lot of the times, you know, you're going to go, wait a second, this doesn't feel good. You can even feel the vibration of your own voice. Like that your own voice is sending a vibration throughout every area of your body sense. And the body isn't a reality. That's not a thing. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a body sense. Okay. This is the whole sense of it. That. All right. So in your awareness of it, you're aware of how it feels to be witnessing this body sense. Right. And then you're aware of the tone when the tone changes. Like sometimes you guys will see me pause, even in wisdom dialogues and in other things too. There will be a shift of energy. There's like a full shift of energy. And then that shift of energy, it's like, whoa, it's like something just moved. It's really interesting. And it's like, and it's like that is the whole experience, to get that, you know, ride that ride. Whatever it is that seems to be coming, you know, when you're not following judgment, you're not pursuing judgment about whether a feeling is good or bad. It's just a feeling for you to experience, right? And you know what I share with people, when you feel really good, celebrate. You feel really good. When an upset feeling comes up and you feel like you can't celebrate, then that's the time to just pray, right? Now, here's a really easy, fun prayer. I love this one. Help me. Because you're just asking for help, you're going to get it. It's just a matter of what do you want help with? You know, a lot of times when people are praying, they're asking for money and different stuff like that. But, you know, if you want help out of your delusion, if you want to see clearly so you can be released from this upset feeling, you're going to get it, you know, and, you know, you're ask and you'll receive. That's it. Right. And you know, it's got to be a really sincere asking. And it'll be an immediate, the help is just immediate. If you wanna be aware of when you're being helped and these energy shifts and stuff like that, just start tuning in to the sense that you get of there being a body here. You can hear it breathe. That's one of them. There seem to be like some temperatures. In some places it's tingly. In some places it's warm. There might be something that you've labeled heartburn. You know, you might have an itchy scalp. Apparently, this is all sense. Like sense it. It's sensual. Like even if it's pain, that's the body sense, right? So get a sense of the body over and over again. Watch, notice when you're caught up in thoughts. You have no sense of the body. That's how there's this gripping. There's this habit of gripping and avoiding the body sense. So in this habit of gripping, there's just this gripping moment to moment, re-gripping. That's what, how I visualize it. Like re-gripping again to everything, to the world in every moment. And it's like a anxious, almost ferocious kind of gripping. Like, I don't want to lose it kind of gripping. Right. That's why the body is basically a pain body. This habit of gripping and hiding, it's projecting a body that's apparently evolved over time in that way. See? It's a story that's made up. But when we feed the story with decline is natural, right? When we feed the story with those thoughts, then we take away the power that's really making this manifestation. It's like we take away the one, like what the power is. So then the manifestation is just allowed to run rampant. When the power is given back to the mind as the projector of this, then the mind can't hide from itself. We can observe the ego. And when the ego is being observed, it's being resolved at the same time. What is a better way to share the information with others? Be aware of my tone. Yeah, and be aware of their tone as well. It's kind of like how we interact. You can say that's how we interact with each other. We got these tones, even when we're not talking. You know, it's like starts with sound, like this vibration, right? It's a subtle vibration, and that's what we are, how we're interacting with each other. So we, even if we're not saying anything, but I can pick it up easily in a voice where there's just a sense of this is frustrating them, this is irritating them, this is making them angry, stuff like that. You can sense it in a voice. And then, you know, I've shared many times, that's also coming from you. So when you can sense what they're going through, you can help alleviate it. You don't have to join them in it. Nael said, ironically enough, both my parents are divorced, but yet both hate George Soros, hate Hillary, and worship Trump. It's hilarious. I think my mom likes Trump too, and also the same as those two things. But then she doesn't, she says that she thinks Trump could be the Antichrist too. So, you know, our whole childhood, probably Nael can agree. The whole childhood was all about how the Antichrist is coming. So our parents would be trying to identify the Antichrist. Because it was always like the Antichrist, any day, he's probably already here. So they're always trying to identify the Antichrist. So my mom has identified Trump as one possible Antichrist candidate. And she also likes him. So that's fun. You know, it's like there's not a right or wrong to this. It's fun. It's all games. I love all the different perspectives. I think all the different perspectives are just so playful, and they kind of make up almost like if it was a tapestry, right? They just like make up all the beautiful colors, shapes, patterns. Yeah. I love all the different perspectives. They all make me laugh too, especially if someone's like really committed to it. I was watching this music video. The guy's name is John. I think it's John Rich or something like that. I know his initials are JR. And he has a couple songs that were just cracking me up. There's these country songs. And one of them was called Offended. And it was something like, let's go out tonight and get offended, or let's all have a beer and get offended, or something like that. It was just, it was so funny. It was a music video. And they just like, they seem to be possible Trump supporters, but then it sounded like he was also bashing on MAGA, Make America Great Again, which I think is a Trump thing. So I couldn't really tell, but they were just hilarious. You could tell they don't like masks, right? And I'm like watching, and I'm like, fuck yeah, these are my countrymen. They don't like masks. They're like, and someone comes up and tries to pay with a credit card that's from the Bank of Woke or something like that. And they toss that credit card in the trash. Then they come up with like an Old Glory credit card or something like that. And they take the card. Someone's like wearing a mask and he's at the bar and he pulls it down. And he drinks a sissy beer. It says sissy right on the side of it. just like such, like it's just like such comedy. You know, I like all of it. I like all of the comedy. I like to play, and all these different points of view are just for, you know, entertainment. It's not anything to be afraid of. And that's what the ego props up there, is as if, like, if someone has a different point of view than you, then they should be afraid, right? Or you should be afraid of them. That's why we get all these kind of, you know, kind of violence things going on in our apparent make-believe world. It's just showing us, you know, there's not really any violence because it's all love. It's not really any violence. And people are playing out their illusions. So people are playing out violent illusions as victims and as perpetrators. People are just playing them out. It's just pain arising. It's pain. You could say it's pain unfolding in this moment. What's unfolding in this moment? Pain. And it's showing up as some kind of violence, right? That's really the situation. But we get the perception of that because we thought we needed it. We thought we need to be violent with ourselves. We thought we need to be violent with other people. So the hatred is just self-violence for sure. And, you know, when it comes to any kind of political leaning, just like notice what it is. It's natural to have a political leaning. Notice what it is and notice that it also doesn't matter. That's the most powerful you can be with it. I mean, you know, if you don't have a political leaning, then how can you heal from that point of view? Right. So it's like you may automatically have a political leaning. It's not like that you should not have a political leaning. Maybe you don't. But if you do, then just notice that that is meaningless. Your political leanings, whatever it is, that is meaningless. Because you know what's going to occur if you're having political leanings? It's just going to come up again and again and again for it to be healed until it's not a thing anymore. Isn't that so fun? It's not like you're at a lower level or an earlier level or anything like that. It's not to say anything like that. It's just that the life is for undoing these things that we made. Okay. It's for undoing the seriousness that we've attached to everything. It's just fun. It's funny. You know, I notice, you know, I obviously have a political leaning, and it's leaning right, apparently, whatever right is. It seems to be like leaning in that direction. It's not like toward Biden or anything. I wouldn't say it's toward Trump specifically, but it's like kind of like more veering in that kind of direction. And, you know, for me, I just don't take that seriously. So it's not like people that have a different political leaning are anything them, for instance, right? We can't even help what that is. It's a fucking program. that's what's really the best. It's like that this idea, like, I don't know how people could think like that, something like that. It's like, I know how everyone can think all these different kinds of ways. It's fucking programmed. People, like when they're around like 20 years old, they start to like have some kind of a leaning one way or the other. And of course, there's a lot of people in denial of that. Some people might even take offense that I even said such a thing like that. That's always fun. So let's see. What are we saying here? Natalie. So Nael, are you saying that your parents are not receptive to you? I mean, my parents didn't have to get a divorce because apparently they were never really even married because shit never got filed. So, but they split up a heck of a long time ago. Like maybe like, I don't know, I was like five. But yeah, they both stayed with it the whole time. My dad stayed like full on in it. My dad stayed full full on missionary status, whatever the name is they give it to you now. Overseas, doing the thing every day in the mall. Yeah, with all the tracks. He was still doing the same thing, the same little pouch, same little outfits even. So cute. And then my mom is just, you know, the other way. But notwithstanding all that stuff, like when you, I don't know, maybe share. Are your parents open to seeing things even, you know, even a little bit differently with more freedom? I think it's a way of seeing with more freedom, because what it seems like is, like for my mom, when she seemed to have that desire for being in this group, which didn't last really that long, maybe it lasted about 10 years or something like that to be in it fully like that. When she really had that desire for it, you know, she developed like this closeness, and then she ended up going with a different man. And that man, was I don't know. It seemed to be like her catalyst for going into, okay, going to get a regular job and doing all this, all these, waitressing and doing different stuff like that. And I remember my mom feeling victimized, like she really had a lot on her shoulders and didn't have a man who could help her to, you know, live her life and do all the things that she wants to do. And, you know, Anne's smirking at me right now because she knows that this is a pattern that's been showing up for me like the whole time I've been with my husband. It'll just like pop up like, you're not taking good enough care, right? I feel so unsupported. Yeah, it's just feelings running around. So for my mom, the way that was, you know, she just kept on going with those kind of like feeling like not as free. So, and then kind of keeping with that not as free thing where it's like, I can't move. I have to stay in this house. I have to do this. I have to do this. And it's like, you know, and also I have to feel this way. That's the biggest thing. I have to feel this way. What am I going to do to not be upset over my son, like always almost going to jail and asking me for money when I need money? You know what I mean? Like that kind of anxious kind of self-talk thing. But she's so open to get the relief when she talks with me and we have a conversation about that. She's like, oh yeah. Okay. I see. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And just like, be so grateful. I was wondering if you have anything like that going on with your parents. Not receptive whatsoever. They don't go to church or anything spiritual, but somehow fight the system, completely right extremism. They believe in Jesus, but when shit hits the fan, faith is brittle. Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, so in that case, that's easy. You're just an example. You're just an example of how when shit hits the fan, you know, you're stoked. You know, my mom really benefited a bunch, and so did some of her friends. She shared with me after I went through the lava, and they just saw how I went through the lava. Some of the friends saw how I went through the lava on Facebook and they got super inspired. Right. So like taking it back to, okay, it's all in you. It's like, the major teaching is that your willingness to let it be demonstrated through you. Right. That's one thing my mom would notice. Like even when I'd go to visit her or something like that, I remember like maybe like a bunch of money was missing. It seemed like a bunch of money was missing out of my account. I'm like, oh, it seems like there's a bunch of money missing out of my account. And I was making the phone calls and stuff. And my mom's like, you're just cool as a cucumber about all this stuff. And I go, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. I'm looking for I'm looking for the connection within the, even going through like looking for the money. You know, that's what I'm really looking for, is the connection to spirit, which we're able to have, but it's a moment to moment thing. It's a moment to moment choice. These guys, my two guys are completely nodding out. It's so adorable. It's okay. You guys, You're good. You guys are just so cute. Anne's in the middle. She's all alert, her neck straight forward. And she's got two dudes like wilting over like plants. I'm glad they can get some good rest in there. They come for the deep rest. They just don't know how exactly they're going to get it. Okay, let's see. Natalie. Oh yeah, that's Natalie's story, right? We got to that. Another thing from Natalie. I'm learning so much from stepping back and seeing how much I want to blame the boots and fantasize about a lawsuit. Whoa. Well, that's awesome, Natalie. Congratulations. Look, this is like call for celebration, because so many people get those thoughts and take them seriously, and they go along on this wild goose chase, right? With blame and stuff. And I know you're noticing how when you see those thoughts, when you observe those thoughts in light of what's true, the amazing, it's almost like orgasmic kind of releases that you get. It's amazing. I love that. And you could do that with anything, small things too. That's why you could just stay orgasmic all day. Why not? My husband's like, oh, you're so orgasmic. I'm like, orgasmic all day. I've been practicing all day. Right? No fap. You guys know what no fap means? That means you're not whacking off, apparently. My son told me that one. Yeah, my 21-year-old son brought it to my attention one day, and it was right around the time I was talking about sex a lot on Wisdom Dialogues. And he brought to my attention one day that there's been scientific studies that show that it shrinks your brain to watch porn, to masturbate, to basically fantasize. The fantasizing itself about sex shrinks your brain. So my son read that and he was like, what the fuck? And he goes, the other day he was like, yeah, I'm thinking I might go out on a date, but man, I don't want to stay out too late, because if I stay out too late, and I go, why don't you just come home early? And he goes, I don't know. I always give into my cravings. Like I'll try to stay up late so I could try to get laid. And I'm like, why don't you just go home and jack off? And he's like, actually, I'm no fap. I'm like, fap? And he goes, yeah, because that's the sound it makes. Fap, 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 fap. I'm like, wow, the kids are up on this shit. The kids are up on it. So my son Blaze is officially no fap now. Isn't that fun? So now, that's so fun. Yeah. So it's like any of this kind of ego play, So then I tell Blaze, hey, why don't you just go out with her and not try to get anything from her? See how that is. And it's kind of like, oh, yeah. And he ended up staying home. Let's see. Nael said, I'm grateful for the cult, though. I'm a Jesus baby. Yeah, that was one thing. We got a lot of good things, definitely. We got a lot of awesome stuff. I mean, and when the whole world, we're talking about I was born in 72. Nael, what? Apparently born what, 1980 or something like that. And the world was very materialistic, 78. The world is very going and going in a really materialistic way, right? And then there were these people that were like kind of like on the fringe, and they took it really extreme. They went in a way where they're like out on the street witnessing. That's what we did. We'd be out on the street witnessing. That was the majority of it. And then you know, also partying. They called it fellowshipping, where we just get together, all of us get together and have a great time. It, you know, between those two things, like, you could take whatever you want from any kind of situation, right? So, you know, so like, I'm talking about orgasmic all day. It's like, you're not going to be able to have that kind of experience if you're holding on to negative aspects, right? So the negative aspects, when you're not holding on to them, it's not like you're lying to yourself. It's just that the negative aspects become light. Even something like molestation, the negative aspects become light. They're light. Look, that's what comedy does, or that's what it used to do. And that's what it's starting to do again, now that it's coming back again. That's what comedy would do, is make light of these heavy situations that you could see that there, it's just not meaningful, and you can relax, right? You can't really be light with things when you're holding negative aspects, as in holding them out as negative. So it's a tone, it's a certain tone, right? So, and the other thing is, like, being orgasmic all day too, that's going to eliminate that craving to have to go out and get some. Right? Like, I have no craving. I have no craving for it. I have no imagination of it, going into an imagination of it. Or let's say I haven't in a while. You know, after I say something like this, a lot of the times it'll just pop up just to fuck with me. Right? And then I'll be like, wow, I feel really drawn to that. You know, like, and it's just so funny. But let's say, you know, I haven't. In quite some time had, you know, any kind of craving, or even like that looks any bit tempting to me, because I'm already there. I'm already fulfilled. I don't need anything. Okay. So then it's like, you know, physical orgasms, those also seem to happen like really easily, right? Because it's already like the body sense is prepared. The body sense is prepared for that. It has nothing to do with physicality. Like, the body sense is prepared. It's already in that mode. Basically, what, you know, sex is inviting you to do is relax, right? Relax so you can have like a deeper experience of the body sense. That's really what it is. It's like inviting that kind of relaxation. And, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with masturbation or watching porn. Fapping is fine. It's just that if you would be aware of it, if you would be just aware of it, like what a lot of people are doing is going into unconsciousness with it, and just being aware, you know, like I said, bring Jesus into it. One of my friends recently told me she started to bring Jesus into her sexual fantasies. She heard that, and she told me she started to do that. And then she realized that it wasn't really that desirable anymore to keep on playing out these patterns over and over again. You know, that's just, you know, that, and that's the fear. That's why there's not asking Jesus to join you in your wild fantasy masturbation sessions, right? That's why there's not asking Jesus to join you in that, because there's fear. Because when you see how meaningless it is, when you see that it's not... it's not benefiting you in a sense that it's not increasing the energy that you have available for awareness. It's decreasing the energy you have available for awareness, because it sends a lot of energy to that. It's not to say that you shouldn't do it again or it's a bad thing. And the reason I repeat myself on this a lot is because I know how it is. I know how the ego's saying, oh, she's just saying that, but shame on you for doing the dirty deed. You know, it's not like that at all. It's just, you know, and you get to see that, oh, that's what it means, let's say. That's the kind of meaning I've given this kind of thing. Right. So the fantasy of it and all of that gives way for reality. What fantasy really is an attempt to run away from the present moment. And in the present moment is where all of the grace and all of the learning is. So the fantasy, and for a lot of people, they live in fantasy just all day long. It's one fantasy over after another. What if I win the lottery, for instance? It'll go off for a while, keeping the mind entertained, right? What if my husband cheats on me? It'll go on and it'll just be entertaining like that. So it's fun to notice these things. Just notice how we keep ourselves entertained. I mean, for me, I just notice the entertainment thoughts that arise. And I keep on going back to my mantra all day long. Thank you. I love you. I keep putting my tongue back to the roof of my mouth all day long. So I'm not running on these patterns because they're exhausting, for one. No one needs this. And it seems to be the more you are aware of them, the more exhausting they seem, which is good. I'm like glad for that. Yay. Not receptive. Okay, I read that. They have a beautiful heart. I just don't understand. You don't understand. Flirty fishing? He mentioned flirty fishing in there. That's like something they used to do in the cult. They get new signups that way. You go out and you show them some boobs or have some sex with them or something. Yay, Gail. Gail's orgasmic all day too. Good. So you see, I give examples about how we use the events, the judgments that come up. Even the judgments are meaningless. You know, one time a friend told me the ego is like a funny, silly little guy. It's not anything to be afraid of. It's like a funny, silly little character that's always trying to tempt you into stupidity. And, you know, you make choices that daze and confuse your mind. It's like it's like those commercials where you just got bonked in the head. A thought will be offered to you. This is what this means. Them not showing up at your party. This is what this means, for instance. Right. And, you know, you might not notice, you might just take that as the truth. It's like your mind is just dazed about that. And then it just keeps on projecting more and more along that kind of thought pattern. And that's what projects time. That's what keeps time extending out in the future. It just keeps on going. Just take it like it's the reality. And so we're starting to see it seems as a as one mind, starting to see more. We are one mind having a subjective experience. So as we start to see more and perceive other people seeing more, that's how you know you're making progress. That's how you know. The people in your field are seeing more and more, and that includes like your parents. And you know, if they're not willing to see, they just kind of like go out of your field. They're not even drawn to it. You may seem annoying to them. Great. That's perfect for them. Or too much. It might seem like too much. Sometimes people might get pissed at you because nothing pisses you off. I enjoy that so much. That was the perception I got with my sister. It seemed like she was really pissed at me because I wasn't taking something seriously. Something that she really wanted everyone to take seriously. And I didn't want to take it seriously. And I could see how it was just perfect. Because it's like our energies weren't meant to, not, I don't know for how long, I'm not in charge of that, but they were not meant to interact for a little bit. My sister seemed to get so bummed at me. She was like, I don't want to talk to you. And I'm like, I totally understand. And I love you. And I'm here for you if and when you change your mind. You could see how it was just so healing to let that be for as long as it needs to be, because I could also see it's like, oh, I feel so free. It's like if any kind of seeming relationship gets released like that, I just feel free. That's great. It's interesting. I wouldn't try to hold on to one. My mind doesn't go like that. Like, oh, I want to keep this one. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't in relationship with this particular body. Right. All the bodies are part of the same projection. There's only one of us. But we tend to make them special, don't we? It's just like the political affiliation. It's the same thing. You don't have any control over that. It's just making some people in your perception that you're projecting special. It doesn't mean anything. But it's used like those special relationships. They're used to make out of them holy relationships when you're willing to see them like that. Special relationships in that sense of them being so special is always a means to attack. It's just a setup. It's a means to attack. Oh, they're so cute and they're so nice. And then you get to know them. And then, oh, I didn't know about that. Right? Most of them are going to play games. Most of them are going to play games with you. There's a possessory game that arises. You're my friend, and therefore you owe this to me. Condition. Thank you. You're my friend and therefore you owe this to me. Look, if you just have an open hand and people are coming and going, which they are, no matter how long they seem to be staying. I consider Tony my husband the same way. I've been chilling with him for like 30 years, apparently. Right? It's just passing through. Then you're not even going to fall into that possessive stuff. You're not going to, you know, there's all kinds of games that people play, and there's these subtle taking advantage of a person, and then the other person's playing, letting themselves get taken advantage of. See, no one can really do anything to the other person, but they can play games with each other. And there's lots of subtle games like this in friendship. See, so it's like if you're getting in touch with how you sense these relatings, sense them. And when you're confused or you don't understand someone, like Niall's talking about, I have this highlighted on my screen. They have a beautiful heart. I just don't understand, you know, and you feel like you don't understand someone. Just see if you can simply open your heart, because the teaching doesn't come from you. It comes through you. And with an open heart, that's what's going to allow it to flow. And I mean, when I say something like that, I'm talking about it kind of literally, because there's an energetic sense that you could feel the energy at this center right here. Okay. And if you just ask, can I share a heartfelt energy? You probably can. I mean, I know you can, but will you let yourself? That's another story. It might take a process for you. Some people will do is tap right here. Like tap. Can you feel that? Can you feel the vibration of that? Great. You know, you start feeling a vibration right there. Start noticing it. Right? It feels really good. Feels really good. Is there? Yeah, you could say that that's like one of the keys to being orgasmic all day is willingness to share this gratitude that's always being extended to you. You are always having gratitude extending to you. Whether you're allowing yourself to see that has to do with what you're making meaningful out of the millions of thoughts that are occurring to you. So it's like, you know, it's like one by one, you'll start to hear them loud. Welcome that. Welcome that. Most people are going to silence that and then pretend. One day I heard really loud, I hate my life. I want to die. I was like, that is awesome. That was like really loud. It was like really loud in my mind. It was almost like someone was standing there saying it to me. Right there in my own voice. Right. And once I saw that, I was celebrating, because I knew stuff like that was in there. I just couldn't see it. Like, oh, thank goodness. There it is. And you know, I'll be like, just like minding my own business, whatever. And that thought will come right back. It just comes. It's not anything about you. It's a worldly thought. I want it to come back. All right. When it comes back, it has a purpose. It comes back around so it could be seen as meaningless again, be seen as meaningless. I don't care how many times. It's a celebration. How many times do I have to do this? No, it's not like that. You're not going to get the orgasmic sense of living unless you're seeing through the stuff that's denying you that, which is your birthright. For having apparently manifested in this world, your birthright is to have an orgasmic kick-ass time. It's not a punishment. EFT, yeah. Emotional freedom technique. When you saw me doing this, yeah, I've probably seen people from around Pune who are into that, just doing that around town. And I'm like, that looks useful, right? Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's something where you tap different. It's really interesting because this thing that we're perceiving as a material form that needs food and rest and all this different stuff, it's actually just an energy field. And like this tapping is, it's kind of almost like you're tapping on you're doing some programming to it. It's interesting. Block tapping. You think it's like block therapy a little bit? Oh, combine the two?
Yeah.
You're blocking and tapping at the same time?
That's the.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. So, okay. So speaking of blocking too, I was over at Kaleo's a couple nights ago and I saw a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a while. And you know what they handed me is a stick. It was a stick and he calls it a Lomi Lomi stick. You know, Rocky yeah. Kalani. Yeah. So he showed me this and he gave me and Tony, each of us. I think he said he makes them out of IV and he's basically doing something similar to block therapy. He never even heard of it. It's how it is when something comes into the mind, it just starts. It's like, kind of like it seeds itself. You don't even have to like meet the next people or something like that. But, gosh, he was put a video up of him and his little grandson. Maybe this grandson is like 3 years old. I'm thinking super young. And he's got one of these long ones that they're both sharing. It's a long, like a long stick. And, you know, they're both sharing and they're both laying on it. And they're both, even the little tiny kid, he's like, oh, it feels so good. You know? And it's just like, I played the little video. It was a short little video. I just played it over and over again. It was so cute. Just watching the both of them get relief on that Vi-V stick for the tension in their backs. You're talking about a little tiny kid. You know, I was saying that as soon as you take on a birth, it's intensity. And the intensity, it's showing up in a body sense, even on a little tiny kid. You know, he hasn't even gone through it much life yet, but he's feeling it too. And it just got me inspired about the relief that people are allowing for themselves. And you know, just like yes, more of that. There's different ways we deserve to have relief from this body sense that's a sense of pain. And it seemed to me, I just got it like, man, people could be doing that all day. But instead, we've given ourselves these like tasks that build tension. And I watch, you know, even in my own mind, I'm about ready to take that real estate exam now. This is the week. It's Thursday. I'm not going to Kona after all. Thank goodness I'm doing it right here. I say thank goodness because I realize I got a sale going on. I'm like, wait a second. How can we simplify this? It ends on Thursday, actually. Yeah. I extended it one day because I had it wrong in one place. I was just like, okay, we're just going to make it all right. We'd make it Thursday. Yeah. So, I'm like noticing myself taking all these sample tests and stuff like that and noticing, man, none of this stuff is new. None of it's new. It's all just repeated. It's repeated patterns. None of this stuff even means anything. And it's like, why aren't we just releasing tension all day long? That's because of the thoughts that are constantly going. I'm telling you guys, it's kind of like a well of thoughts. It's kind of like a well. So it's like, you know, what we need, all we really need is to be getting released from this on a continual basis. And you know by your feeling, because you know, that orgasmic feeling, it's like symbolic of who you are. So that's how you naturally are when you're not holding things against it. So, you know, what better vocation for the mind than to just be being released from these all the time, all day long, all night long, all the time. That's all it is. Well, what are these, you know, and the question arose in my mind, what are these distractions like with a real estate course? And it's just, the answer came right away. This has to be played out. The beliefs are accumulated. The beliefs are long held that you have to do something to make money, for one thing, right? You have to do something to make money. Now, look, if it occurred to me that, oh, I don't have to do anything to make money, I know this. This is true. I know this. And yet I perceive myself not living in that way if I'm pursuing something for money. See, there's a contradiction there. And for me, that's just like, that's okay. The contradiction is just watched. And it's playful. And it's allowed to be healing. Would I be doing? I don't know for sure. I mean, it seems like no. Someone just asked me to do another wisdom dialogue, and you know, immediately I was like, I would love to do three wisdom dialogues in a week. But then there was a sense like, oh, but if I'm going on a real estate course and I run a business, how could I do three wisdom dialogues in a week? Right? Well, that sense arises. And then it's like, also, it's out of my hands. I don't have to do anything about that. It's like, it reminds me of, do you have the faith for it? Do you have the faith for it? It's not a good or bad, right or wrong question. It's just that you don't want to tempt the ego, right? You don't want to force yourself to try to do more, right? And there's a mental movement, or making it as if you have to try to do more to demonstrate that what's true is actually true, right? Because when that occurs, when you try to play something like that out, you just get slapped, right? So in allowing, okay, that is even going toward anything where you wouldn't do it, but you know, you thought that you needed to do it for money. Right? It wouldn't be a thing, but you thought that you had to do it for money. Just only watch. Because, you know, if you believe in these things being the reality, then you're getting attached to stuff. But if you're just watching it, it's just like a funny play. It's like a funny, playful play. And you know what? I get plenty of time laying around on a block and doing whatever it is that's relaxing for me automatically, just because I'm willing to see things that way. It's like, okay, Hope, apparently you have to do this stuff. So you are, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do it and you're going to have a kick-ass time doing it. And then you know what else? You're going to get a lot of relaxed time and it's going to be chill, right? It's just kind of like, it's a way of seeing that makes whatever it is that you're having a perception of very purposeful. And if you'll see it that way, then it is that way. Then it becomes purposeful, and then it becomes inspiring. And then I can see how I could go either way. I could either feel really inspired about this real estate thing, or I could feel like, okay, it's what I got to fucking do. You see, it can go either way, really. And it's just like that. It's just on a dime.
Same with this. I mean, it was an inspiration. Maximally healing.
Yeah.
Official.
Right.
And so I saw it. You know, when I arrived at the place, I went, oh, that's what I'm supposed to meet these people. They were all unhappy at the beginning, but as I was there, they just got happy and happier and were very happy. And I left me, I don't want to see one here. And I go, thank you for being here.
Yay.
Maximally. My perception, how do I choose to perceive this thing that has never really...
I don't know if people can hear you over here, but Kai Molino's talking about how he jammed up his finger somehow.
Yeah.
Jacked his finger seems to be jacked. So he had to go somewhere for it, apparently. And he said when he went in there, people didn't seem to be having a kick-ass time. And then he stayed in there, being his gay on a couple different levels self, and loved them all up. And everyone was happy when he left. That's so great. Thank you, Kai Molino. Thanks for just being in that vibe and being devoted. It's really wonderful. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice to just, yeah, it's such a different vibe than going, fuck. How do you think I'm fucking doing today? Look at this shit.
There are questions on the first one too.
Oh, I love you, Angela. Yay. Thanks for joining. That's my cousin.
Yeah. Oh, yay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yay, everyone. No, not yet. It was premature. Kindly was like, wait, I'm trying to get my money's worth around here. Give us some more of these wisdoms. Maximally beneficial. So my daughter's been in Kona for weeks now. She comes once a week back over here to do her crystal thing. And yeah, she's still living free, living in her car. My mom heard that she was living in her car and thought that she needed some help. And I go, oh no, Akea, nope, she likes this. She likes this. It's good. She feels like it's good for her. She wakes up in the morning and gets in the ocean, takes a dive in the ocean. She said she can't help but wake up early. So then that makes her not want to drink, which she doesn't feel like drinking. It's like dulling her senses, she says. So she likes it. She wakes up. She has to wake up with the sun. And then when she does that, she just gets right in the water. And I just, I just love to see how, you know, this freedom, especially around Hawaii and stuff, can be demonstrated in a really authentic way. Like, this is not my daughter trying to prove something or something like that. It is really manifested in this authentic way, is that I like diving, and this is, and Kona's where I like to dive, and Kona's also where I can make money doing DoorDash. So I'm just going to chill out over here. She has a place to get, she has a place to come over here. It's like 2.5 hours away or something like that. 2 hours, maybe. Place to come over here to do her mailing and her laundry too. She gets her mailing out once a week for everyone who's shopping at her place on Etsy, Crystals in the Wild. It didn't work out with, for her coming to our store. It turned out to be kind of a disaster in some sense. She paid someone to come on and be integrated with our store, the crystals and the essential oils, which sounded wonderful and it seemed great. Technologically, it did not work out, such that we were way into the project. Okay, I did a whole bunch of work, and then the whole project was scrapped. We decided she needs to get her own Shopify store, and then our stores can just point to each other. And maybe we could affiliate with each other like that too. That's another way we could do it. But yeah, so it turned out, and Akea was just amazing at how she handled all of that, you know, because she came with the anticipation, not really, you know, holding a strong expectation, but you know, there's anticipation that naturally arises, that it would go a certain way. So it was very different from that. She ended up spending money and then seeming to run out of money, apparently. And you know, I noticed her get stressed a couple of times, and I just share with her, you know, we got to come back to what this is really all for. You know, that's what it's really, it's doing here. Like, there's nothing that's out of place. Everything is exactly how it's meant to be, you know, and it's funny because these different things that we tried with Miracle Botanicals at doing these different things, a lot of them like seem to collapse, like kind of into the project too. Same thing with the app. I was doing a Miracle Botanicals app and kind of like into the project, got way into the project, and then realized, oh, they can't open the tabs on here on the app. So they can't see all the, like, one major thing about our website, miraclebotanicals.com, which, by the way, we're having a big sale right now. So go over there if you want. On our website is this information. So if the app couldn't have the information, the app is kind of useless unless you already know what you want and you just want to go on there and you want to see the name of the oil, basically, and a few bullet points. There's bullet points there, which is quite a bit of information, but nothing like being on the store. So now it's totally back to the drawing board. They're giving me 3 months free and just like to see how like long, you know, long we can draw out these different things. And, you know, just in knowing what all of them are for, but not knowing in any sense where it's going. I mean, it looks to me like, okay, there's a seeming failure over here, a seeming failure over here. You know, it really got me in touch with this thing we call failure too, because it's so awesome. Like, you know, if everything is maximally beneficial, then that means getting the sense of failure is also beneficial. So my mom and I were talking and she was telling me that, you know, if you really are such and such, such and such, such and such, then you'll have all of the money. You'll have all the riches of the world. And I said, well, you know what? That just doesn't seem to be true to me, because what if you need to have a different experience because it's maximally beneficial, not just for you, but for everyone. And then she saw that, she goes, oh yeah, I see how people learn from that. And so, yeah, it's true. It's like the richness, the wealth is in the awareness. It's the awareness of it. It's, you know, for me, I just feel like I have everything. I have the whole world, because it doesn't matter. Even if I get a sense of anxiety is only passing. Okay. So that's not like anything, or I get a sense of fear or something like that. That's not anything. It's like, I can just be in complete relaxation because this thing is just unfolding. There's nothing really for me to do about it to guarantee my sustenance. I'm just forced to do whatever I seemingly need to do because of the beliefs I'm holding on to and don't know about yet. This is how they get worked out, because they're going to get projected along the way. And as they project outward, we don't need to project over them, but we could take those projections and use them, kind of like convert them toward healing. See, that's a transformation. It's like there's this way of using all of these thoughts that are untrue and hurt your mind, calling them negative thoughts, trying to resist them, stuff like that. Or there's just allowing them to arise in the light of your awareness, so you know that they're there, and then that can be resolved. That's the only reason they're arising. And you know, like for me, it's like when it comes to, sure, if I have a bunch of money, then guarantee I'm going to be fucking partying with it. That's just how it goes. Okay. If I have a bunch of money, but what is a bunch of money? Everyone's making it up. You know, at certain moments, I'm like, I just feel like I have a bunch of money and I'm just fucking partying with it. It's a feeling. It's really a feeling. And, you know, it's like when you allow yourself to fall into the feeling of, or surrender into the feeling of, I have this whole world. It's all propped up in my imagination. So whatever occurs is perfect for me and beneficial to me. And whoever arises in my perception, they are the ones who get my gratitude, whether they seem to be coming in an intense way or what. And it's ongoing. It's moment to moment. That's why there's a sleepiness that takes place. And don't worry if you seem to be asleep most of the day. Okay. Any little bit that you would be willing to give toward awareness is going to be helpful. That'll be used. And you know what? Go for whatever you like. Hey, you like to do mantra? Do that. You like to do yoga? Do that. Blocking? That's that one. whatever, you know, ease is, and is easing, easeful and calming. They're all good. You know, even, you know, even at, even alcohol, something like that, or some weed or some mushrooms or something like that could also be taking a load off for you. I don't know. Check in. Because for some people, it's putting a load on. All right. Check in. It really depends on how you would be willing to use it. Lori, what fun to hear from you, my love. Money is a feeling. It's suffering when the perceived lack is here. But when it lets go, it feels so good. Yeah, so you see how you could use that perceived lack. You could use that perceived lack itself to reveal the abundance that you are. You know, you have to be projecting a feeling of lack. And that, you know, that's even harder than the letting go of it, projecting like there's something lacking. And so it's like immediately, it doesn't even matter what. And that's the thing people get confused about with this manifesting thing. And, you know, some people are getting this manifesting thing. They feel like they're getting it down because now they have a bunch of money. And here's what I got to say to you about that. This too shall pass. Okay. That always goes to its opposite. That's not where it's at. You can get that going on for lifetimes, but it's a distraction. What you really want is to know your true abundance. And that lets you play out any kind of stupid delusional shit. And that's all we're doing when we're playing to the palace is dumb. We bought into the system that the ego fed us. The system of body, right? What it needs, when it needs to sleep, how it feels, cycles it goes through. None of these are even true. We're just projecting them now. Same thing with money. And it's like, whatever I get or not get, like in Miracle Botanicals, you know, recently it was like, man, it's time for us to have a liquidation sale. For one, we got a bunch of product here. For two, fucking running out of money, apparently. Right? So then we have time to do a freaking liquidation sale. Right? It, you know, it's like the illusion has us running around like freaking puppets like this, you know, but none of it is really true. But it's funny. And it doesn't have to be an anxiety thing. It's not like, oh, this is so sad. It's fun. This game is all game. So hooray, everyone. I love you. Does anyone have any questions or anything before I go? I plan to be back next week. Someone else, as I said, invited me to do Wisdom Dialogues at their place, and it sounds very inviting. I told them I already have Cinderland for my in-person on Friday. And I asked him if he would be open to me having online at his pad. That way I could do online, but with a larger group of people. Might be some technical things to work out, but I got this guy right here. So you know some shit. I know it. I'm going to use that little brown brain and fingers. If he lets me. yay. So yeah, I plan to be back next Friday, or next Monday and this Friday at Cinderland again. And we'll see about that other one. Who knows? Maybe I will just go, you know what? I feel like doing it three times a week. I'm gonna fucking do it three times a week. Come what may. Tell the real estate people I got Wisdom Dialogues. Who knows? I don't even know what I'll be in that. I don't even know if I will be something in that. Okay. I don't know what it'll be, but you know what? There's other jobs. Like there's appraiser for one. There's property manager for another, where you can make it an even, like maybe even less of a schedule. I'm looking for the most money for the most minimum schedule. That's what I'm looking for. So I can spend lots of time with you guys. I've asked you guys for donations before, but those don't really come that plentifully. So apparently I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get a, apparently, I don't know. I'm gonna get a job where I work just a little bit and make a lot of money. Apparently, we'll see. I know everything's working out for the best. Ah, I love you guys. Thank you. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for your devotion to what's real. And thanks for your willingness to see your determination. I love you so much. Mahalo, aloha, and a hui ho. Yay.